You may be seated. Father, we thank you for what you are doing. We sign up for your labors. We sign up, Lord, for your service. We sign up for the ministry. We only ask that you grant unto us grace in Jesus' name. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And I want to just share briefly on the subject, the bishopric. The bishopric. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was nigh to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. We'll take another scripture before we proceed, and that will be the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Philippians chapter 1, in the book of Philippians, it's a sin worthy of much repentance in sackcloth and ashes for you to allow your phone to ring here. Since it's your first time, you are forgiven. Hallelujah. But it's a grievous offense. It's a sin against the body of Christ. And just in case there are other culpable people in that regard, on your handset there is a red button, and the purpose of the button is to switch off. You will do well to switch off in Jesus' name. You will notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul was still giving a salutation. And in his salutation, we see somewhat of a hierarchy that is functional, acknowledged in the body of Christ. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Hallelujah. That gives us somewhat of some idea about a structure that was prevalent in the body of Christ, a structure, an acknowledged structure that was prevalent, that was operational in the body of Christ at the time. First of all, the first recognized portfolio that is in the body of Christ is the portfolio of the deacons. And if you check the context, the situation, the circumstance that led to the establishment of the diaconate, you will see that the problem on ground was an administrative type of problem. And if that administrative issue was not addressed, it has the capacity, the tendency to be able to bring the integrity of the ministry in a bad light. And on the strength of the operation of the gift of word of wisdom, the apostles now discovered that the current situation was one of the symptoms of the growth that they prayed for. You know, you can labor and ask Baba to bring the people, bring the land, bring the territory. But most times we did not understand that growth is associated with its own kinds of problems. So what was happening in the book of Acts chapter 6 was not the devil at work. It was just the normal symptoms that accompany population explosion in a ministry venture, in a ministry initiative. And it became obvious at that point in time that a level of administration had to be set in motion in order to curb that dimension of challenge, which was not foreseen in the initial takeoff of the apostolic ministry. Are you with me? You can actually run ministry with a very minimal, marginal level of administration at some point, but the time comes when administrative structures will have to be put in place in order for you to be effective, and in order for you not to allow the devil to overwhelm you in such a way that you will now begin to major in the minors, because it is possible for you to eventually become an administrator yourself and you decide to leave the core of the ministry, which has to do with the ministry of the word and prayer. Now, in order for them to still be accurate and attend to the core of ministry, they had to evolve an administrative system that would take care of all other issues and matters arising on the account of the ministry. So the scope of the ministry of the diaconate is administrative. Now, in order for us to have this meeting, for instance, there are several people right now that are taking care of the generator. You may not know the kind of challenges they have had, but you are under the air conditioning units. And in fact, one of our senior reverend gentlemen, very senior, the first functionaries that we had put in place, is one of them, first functionaries, when I was going to Lagos. He's supposed to be in, if there is a vacant high seat, he's also supposed to be sitting here. But he is the engineer. You see, in order for him to be the engineer, he had to avoid this seat. And that is what is eventually going to happen. The administrative challenge can take you out of your office. So if it's not properly taken care of, and meanwhile, if you were the one that asked for the city, you asked for the land, you asked for the Bible, you asked for men to be saved and men to come so that they can be disciples, and then suddenly there was a 3,000 member explosion. Now, if in your ministry 3,000 people come and say they are, in fact, that your road, the road that we were in one day. So the road was overburdened by the meeting we just called. Now, so an administrative situation had to evolve, and that's how the diaconate came. So that's the first line of leadership that is in the body of Christ. It's administrative. And if you have not by any means done the dirty job of the administrative side, and not, if you have not done that wholeheartedly, and that's why we had to read the profile of the people. There were times where you served under people. There were times when you had to run some kind of errands that are not directly related to pulpit ministry. All of that was the administrative requirement that needs to be in place to power the mainstream hub of ministry. So the diaconate happens to be the administrative arm. Then there is another layer. You know, you need to be faithful in the little before you are given charge of much. The second layer of recognized ministry in the body of Christ is the layer of the bishopric. The bishopric. And I need to explain to us what the bishopric is about. First of all, because of our exposure to the current episcopal system of church government, our perspective of the bishopric may not be consistent with the biblical order. So I just want to throw a little light on the bishopric before we proceed in our message. Hallelujah. We may wish to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now pick something from there. Move somewhere else. Pick something from there. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to seriously acknowledge that reverend gentleman, Reverend Chris Ajodo. He's such a man. He's not here. He's somewhere outside. But one of the reasons why we're having a smooth flow is because he has stepped down into the diaconate. I was an usher. I can see usher today. In fact, if you meet us on a good day, this is too official. When we are in our native elements, you find out that we are first of all functionaries in the house of God. The fact that we are wearing collar today doesn't mean we cannot dispatch and carry out the ushering work. Me, I'm trained. I'm a trained usher. Those days when we usher, somebody is sleeping, you touch the person say, he's high in spirit. That is high in spirit. Some of them, you touch them, they will warn you that they were, he was in a vision. He was just, when you touch. So you find several people that eventually pioneer ministries and they are governors. The reason why it's like that is because he was never a deacon. Never served. Never served. So he sees it as a political position. He doesn't understand that it is a work. It's a work. And those are some of the parameters that God is going to look at when we stand before him after this civilization. Was it a title? Was it a position you were parrying? There are several people I see like now in the congregation that are as anointed as any one of us is. But they are not doing pulpit ministry. Some of them are helps ministry. The man, the media, but he is very anointed. He is a strong intercessor, making the pulpit work from where he is. But he is satisfied with it. It's okay for me. If you have never served in such a way that you did not do it to be seen, you will have a heart challenge. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. All right. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I will still come back to this. Now, according to this scripture, the bishopric is a responsibility that is bestowed upon you to do some kind of work. So it is a walk fundamentally, not a title. Stay with me. Second scripture. I'll come back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 later. If you desire the office, the status of a bishop, you will notice the word used here, desire. It's not called into. It is desire. I desire the office of a bishop. That thing I'm desiring actually in essence is a walk. It's a walk. Alright? Okay. Now, in the book of Titus chapter 1, still trying to go further to understand the bishopric. Titus 1:4, the Bible says, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Now, the word ordained is the same word appointed. You see, the word what? Ordained. So we can say, and appoint elders as I also have what? Appointed you. So there was such a time, there was once upon a time that Timothy was, that Titus was appointed as an elder. There was once upon a time that Titus was appointed as an elder by Paul. I'm just trying to put some things in perspective. Okay? All right. If any be blameless, so one of the responsibilities of an apostle, someone that has a mandate, a commission from God, is that this mandate that he has received from God, there are several other people that are going to labor with him in order to bring that mandate to pass. Are you with me? So because of that, he will have to appoint some people that will stand with him in the labor. Yeah, so what? Appoint some people. Those people do not necessarily need to be called. However, the scripture gives us some indicators as to some indicators that should be found in their lives, which is supposed to be a measure of their level of intimacy and maturity and submission to the government of Jesus Christ. Indicators. Because if somebody has not arrived this level of maturity in his walk with God, and he's given the responsibility of a bishop, he is definitely going to make shipwreck of the ministry. Stay with me. All right, I'm driving at something. If any man be blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. You see, so there are two words that are used interchangeably here, elder and bishop. So a bishop is an elder. And it is a set man that has been set apart by God, to carry out a mission that has the authority to appoint an elder that will labor with him. Whereas the deacon's duty is administrative in scope. The elder's duty is spiritual in scope. In the elder's activities, the work of oversight over souls and lives is a critical component of his assignment. If we check scripture, very soon we are going to do that. The qualification for deacons and the qualifications for elders, there is a difference. Because the intensity is higher with the elder. On the strength of the nature of his assignment, one of the requirements is that he must be flawless in character. Because whether you like it or not, there are several things you are going to pick. You are going to copy and paste from your spiritual father. It is part of your heritage. That's why Paul says, I may not be able to come and teach everything, but follow me as I follow Christ. I am a worthy example to copy to the degree to which my life is in conformity with Christ. In our current system, in our current episcopal system, the apostle or the point man or a missionary that God has set apart for a particular mission is the one that eventually matures into bishopric. So somebody that has been running ministry, serving God faithfully for so many years, eventually is now ordained a bishop. It's against the biblical order. Because in the biblical order, it's the sent man that appoints bishops. So because it is an appointment, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Somebody that is serving in the house can actually desire that one day he will be appointed a bishop. It's not a calling. In fact, in order for you to be eventually separated into a ministerial office that we have seen the grace lavishly operate, flow through your life, you must have first been appointed a bishop. It is from the pool of bishops that we separate people into the offices that God has called them. Somebody can be a bishop and does not have a ministerial calling. So you remain a bishop. Remain an elder. It's from the pool of elders that people are separated into the clergy. So if someone has not done diligent work of oversight over souls, with a track record that all the ladies he discipled, they remain virgins after they pass through his hand. Because a bishop must be blameless. He must be flawless in character. It means that he has drank of Christ and he has subjected himself to his government today to an extent such he has strength of character. Because of his loyalty to Christ, there are some things we know that he cannot do. You must be flawless in character. And it's strange, when we check the requirement of the bishop, you find out that the character requirements are much more than the anointing requirements. It's more of a character thing than an anointing thing. Because in our time, our perception of the bishopric is with respect to anointing. You feel that someone has matured enough to be a bishop because he has some power gifts at work in his life. It was in Karu, in Abuja. A young man, a young evangelist, and the guy has a bias in his manifestation of the power gifts in the area of the gift of faith. That was his bias. So the guy can be on the pulpit preaching, and then when the thing comes upon him, he will run down and he will just begin to raise cripples. A young man, the guy was like 25, raised three cripples that were terribly crippled. That's how he preaches. He doesn't have any message to preach, but he'll be saying many things. He can be talking about of bonus soup and okra and all of that. And then when the thing comes, he will raise the cripples. Then he will say, you give your life to Christ. That's how he is, by miracles, by signs, by wonders. That is how he stay with me, stay with me. And so this guy was ministering. Came down from the pulpit, raised three cripples up. Everybody was shouting. That's when he gave the order call. And people being overwhelmed. He might come, he cannot even open the scriptures like that. He can't open, he will just start talking. Like he went somewhere. As he was going, somebody died. Yeah. Then he prayed. So he will be sharing testimony. Then when the thing comes, he will. But after he raised three cripples, he eloped with the daughter of the elder. A fine, well-dressed usher that you will not miss to see her if you came for the crusade. He also saw her. But he did not stop at seeing her. He eloped. He eloped. A bishop has come to a point in his work with God where it is not possible for him to behave like that. He must be blameless. He must be flawless in character. Sometimes you have to be a fool, because a matter comes up, you know that if you press the matter, there will be contention. And you might lose your temper, so you just let it go. Let it go. You know yourself. You know, so you just let the matter go so that peace will reign. There are many such concessions you are going to have to do in order for you to be worthy of the bishopric that God has brought you into. Now, let's check the list quickly. List of qualifications. The long list, the major long list is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's the list I would have loved us to look at. But let's start with the short list. If any be blameless, a husband of one wife, I don't need to talk about that. Blameless, it means you are flawless in character. If you are looking for a Christian, this is the Christian. Hallelujah. You know, PFN has revealed a lot of things. It's a wonderful fellowship. And in Abuja, Bonke was about to come. Monies have been released. And then a bishop came and said, okay, how much do we have for? He took 40 million and left. You will see it here. You will see it here. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Do you know that the behavior of your children will determine if you still have a valid license behind the pulpit? The behavior of your children. Because if it's true that the thing you encounter that made you follow Jesus, if it's tangible, your household should be the first victims of the fire. And if your household have not been touched by the fire, is either the fire is false, or there was a great character impediment that you had that made, that discouraged them from following your God. Let me not press on that. Hallelujah. It's not contentious. It's not somebody that, okay, there's a disagreement and he's willing to be in the fight. You know, I used to know a pastor. Maybe he's hearing me now because we are Facebook friends. I grew under him. Hallelujah. If he fights, he will win. If he fights you, he will maintain the fight. He can fight for 7 years. He flows with fighting naturally. So you, if you want to follow God, you will have to go and beg him that. Anytime the ministry grows and becomes 200 members, I saw that 13 times, 13, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 13. If it becomes 200 members, the problem will come. He will fight. It will become 80. Then the problem will. If it becomes 200, For I say it happened how many times? 13 times. Happened 13 times. It's riotous. If you cannot allow people to insult you and you can still sleep, go and work in the bank. Be a marketer for a bank. You know ministry? Eh? Your heart will break many times. And one time, after they break it, you won't find your heart again. You know, people say they enter into relationships and then they broke their heart. My own heart, for a long time, I didn't even find the heart. They took it. People that God is helping you to raise with all your life, then those same people will join your enemies to fight you. It's not as if you didn't know. You knew. But you wanted to hide it so that the people will think about the relationship and to give them a rope, at least for 3 years. I did that, 3 years. The man grew worse over time. And there are several things he did that nobody will ever hear until my job in this earth has finished. If your capacity, your threshold for forgiveness is not large, don't come into the bishopric. Not every man knows Jesus. Strange things. He said, not riotous. He's quick to concede. He's meek. He's not easily offended. And he doesn't easily offend. That's the kind of man that can be positive under pressure. Listen to me. A bad governor was first a bad man. A bad wife was first a bad woman. So when it comes into the bishopric, we narrow it down to who you are. That is what will determine whether you can be vested with the saddle of the labor of the bishopric. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Have you been invited before? Maybe you invited for a meeting, you traveled, you came in. And then when you showed up, the preaching engagement, the timetable changed. And then you realized that at the end of the event, you had not preached. Meanwhile, you traveled farther than all the guest speakers. If that is a problem to you, don't come for the bishopric. That shouldn't be a problem. Can't we come for your meeting and then the Holy Spirit ministers to you that there's a change of plan? No. If we are emotionally secure, that should not be a problem. That you were denied an opportunity to speak. If it pained you, you are a baby. You are a baby. Go and do business. Sell in Alaba, you will find things, add money, say. Oh, I don't want to say some things. You will interpret it in another way. I've been checking my spirit whether I should say. Are you still with me? He said a bishop must be a steward of God. A steward. Who is a steward? Is a waiter. A waiter. You know, a waiter's assignment, his real assignment, is to wait. It's when you come and make an order that you activate the waiter to start working. So, if God says, don't preach again until you solve this problem, I've done that before, although they don't know. In my own dealing with God. All right? He said, don't preach the pulpit. So what I did was that for 4 months, I didn't come here. I was in Lagos then, so I just left here for 4 months. Because the great one said what? The original assignment was waiting first. If there's no order, you keep waiting. That's the job. Wait. And the reason why God did that was, you know, you can get involved in ministry and you like ministry. And then you forget that the initial call was as the call of a waiter. And then God just wants to remind you that you are forgetting. You like the ministry. So you are doing the ministry now, you are forgetting God. So God now says, okay, can we stop the ministry? You just let your current assignment be waiting. That happened to me for 4 months. I waited for 4 months. I was praying for 4 months, communing with God for 4 months. And I did not come here for 4 months. And because God was the one that said it, Chief Don was running our monthly meetings and the numbers were growing without my presence. Some of you are aware of the time I'm talking about. I was a waiter then. I was a waiter. Do you know that after that 4 months of waiting, a new level of understanding, a new level of grace came. And then I was dispatched again. There are orders now. Go. Go and serve. Go and serve. Don't get so involved in preaching that you forget your original assignment of waiting on the Lord. That's our real ministry. It is from there, the outflow of that engagement, that we can do all kinds of stuff. He said, you must be a steward. Not giving to wine. Not a striker. A striker is somebody, if I offend you, you want to offend me back. That's a striker. Not a what? A striker. Because a striker is still bound by the flesh. And the devil can come and put him under pressure. And because he's bound by the flesh, he will act in the flesh. And that goes on record to tarnish the image of God. You know, when we started here, there were no level of lies. Some of you are witnesses. There were no level of lies that did not tell about me. They said I had a pot in the office. And me and Evangelist Chris, we used to go and touch it. That anytime Evangelist Chris comes here and he says, hey, is that pot? Yeah, the thing is. You know, if you release him now, the tongues, he will scatter this place. Meanwhile, that is his grace as an evangelist. They say that pot, me and him, we used to touch it. When he comes, he will shout first, and then that is shouting will now cast the spell on everybody before I now start preaching. In fact, I had to stop wearing my wedding ring because they say I went and got one thing I'm using to do miracle. But you know what? Over time, it will be clear if it is from God or not. Over time. If the time they were saying that, I did not respond. Because if I had insulted the people and cursed them, it would have gone on record. That when they were pressing me, this was what I did. One of the reasons why the people could come and repent, and the ones that could not come and repent, they repented on their pulpit. And the ones that could not repent on their pulpit, when my book came out, I didn't ask them. They went and bought it, and then they were advertising it in their church. That was their own level of God sees their hearts. May he accept their repentance. But you know what? I moved on. They were doing fight. Me, I was moving on. I was moving on. I was not a striker. There was no day I came here to curse. Meanwhile, the thing was much. No day. Because the Bible says that a bishop must not be a striker. A bishop is somebody that allows God to take the seat of the God of vengeance. He allows him to do his own job. And then he focuses on the work of the oversight of the souls of men. Hallelujah. We suffered persecution for 7 years out of 10. We only enjoy peace for 3 years. And then in the third year, we now did a citywide crusade. Then I now realized that that persecution was the publicity we needed to be able to have citywide impact, citywide. So if I fought the persecution that time, it would have had a bad print. There would have been a fingerprint that people can hold on to say, see him, when they were saying, this was what he was saying. But there's no such record. A bishop must not be a striker. Have you ever had come under intense pressure where you felt you needed to use the pulpit to address somebody? You are falling short of the bishopric. You and somebody has personal problem, then you come to the pulpit and then you now make it a message. We don't need the pulpit to talk to people. We are bold enough to confront them. If we are under the pulpit, we operate by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He does what he wants to do. There will be many temptations for you to move in the flesh. In fact, when you begin to minister and the congregation is not growing, there is a temptation for you to begin to cajole. The other day, they were preparing for a miracle service somewhere. So they brought two old men. They told them, what will happen is this. When we say, cripple, stand up, you will be one side, you will be one side. So you stand up and then begin to grant. So when the real cripple sees you, their faith will go up. All of those engineering it comes from the frustration. If you don't know how to handle, it's only God that gives the increase. You can have an accurate ministry, but the ministry is not growing the way you expect. Allow God to give you the increase. There's always a temptation for you to cajole, but a bishop cannot be fake. He can't. Can't be fake. Some of our people here left us. Why did they leave? They say, we're not ambitious enough. See ambitious people in ministry. Those ones, their life is on the fast lane. Hallelujah. It's only God that gives increase. Meanwhile, in six different seasons, we'll preach here, people will go. Preach. People, it will be growing small. Then we'll preach one sermon. People will get angry. Go. It will reduce again. It happened six times, yes. When God now sees that your conviction to deliver his word, his kingdom message, is higher than physical progress and success. Don't change the message. Don't change it. Let your conviction to establish the kingdom be higher than your appetite for physical progress, physical success. Success in numbers, success in people, success in money. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible calls something filthy, filthy lucre. That's Ghana must go. Ghana must go. So that bishop in Abuja, he came and took 40 million from the crusade funds. And when Rahabunken came and he was told, Bonke cost the man. He said, this money belongs to people. And the people that gave, it's not as if they had. All across the world, some of them gave $100, some of them. And then they put everything together and brought it. And then he cost them. That bishop. I mean, the Bonke, you know, Raha Bonke cost bishop. Because a bishop should not be guilty of filthy lucre. A bishop will not take sides with you because there is money on the table. He has a conviction that is more precious to him than silver and gold. Once upon a time, a minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, who happens to be from Benue, he came to my office. And you're doing well. Not normally. He is not so much of the Pentecostal, but he just built a facility. There's a building here, and he wants to give me the opportunity to come and dedicate the facility. He just built a facility. Then he said I should give him my number. I did. He's going to call me on so time so that I can join them to open up the facility. The governor will be there and several other people. I didn't pick his call. But at least I wasn't bold enough to tell him I wasn't coming. But he called and called, and he knew that I wasn't coming. No, that is not the kind of person that God has sent to you. Hallelujah. The person that God sends to you will be humble. Will not consider himself different from any other believer that is in the hall. And if he gives and you receive, you will know it's a privilege. So it is not in our own time that the gospel will be looked at upon as a cheap thing, because there was a fake bishop that was present that gave people an impression which was not accurate. The man became afraid to visit because he promised he would come back again. After that, our transaction, there was no need for him to come back. Someone drove a car and said, "Oh my, that he came, brought this car to me. He would have given the car to his wife, but he just decided to give me." I said, "That's too much detail. That detail is too much. It's obvious that God has not sent you to bring this car, so you take it. V-boot." And then somebody was there. Paul Ego said, he wanted to do like Gehazi. To move. But the way I spoke, I even spoiled the road of Gehazi, just in case there was any Gehazi. So the person that brought the car now became angry and left because I refused that I was proud. If God sends you, you keep your mouth shut and you drop it. You say he wanted to give, so I should deprive your wife of a car and collect. What was that detail for? No. The Bible says that giving should be with simplicity. It was too complex for it to be given from the Lord. A bishop must not have his eyes on Ghana, Moscow. You know, that thing is ancient English. You may not understand. It means Ghana, Moscow. Many people will come and want to flaunt money and say, you know, some people told me that if I can change some of my sermons, they will support the work. Just support the work. But I preach, it's too hard. And I don't consider that, you know, there are people, there are dignities in the hall. Hey. Oh, I've heard things. Oh, you have not heard? I was given the opportunity to be ordained a bishop. I didn't find that kind of ordination in the Bible. Meanwhile, my father and the Lord that I'm following is not a bishop. I can't wear any cap that doesn't fit his head. Yeah, in my own opinion, that man is the most Christ-like man I have seen. If he had not seen the need, if you call him prophet, it's correct. Call him apostle, it's correct. Call him teacher, it's correct. Call him. And in his wisdom, he has not one bishop.
I will be a degenerate plant that we cannot trace the root if I become one. Yes. Because the Bible says we should follow in the steps of them who through faith and patience obtained. The path that they have walked is a path that is established. I can't create another path. If it's ego you want, opportunities for you to feed your ego will come on the path of ministry. But a bishop will always leave the path of ego because he is initially and fundamentally a servant, a steward of Jesus. There will be opportunities for ego. We actually saw the model that several people are operating in our day where, you know, three bodyguards will be in the front, two bodyguards will be in the back. All right? And then when I come, when you stand like this, the bodyguards, you see, their chest will be. We saw all those models. And you see, anything that is not in the life of Jesus, that is not in the example of the apostles, is extra scriptural. You will be practicing it at your own peril. The Bible is a closed canon. You cannot be too creative when implementing it, because you are not the first to do so. Our ancestors in this faith, they have left us a pattern. If there was going to be any creativity, it would be those first generation guys would have explored it. We cannot be creative now because we are in the stream. There's a simplicity. Alright? There's a simplicity that should accompany your practice of ministry. In order for us to stop finally. Hallelujah. This one is my own. I want to add. If your family life is not healthy, what you are preaching on the pulpit is a lie. That is your relationship with your wife. If it's not healthy, you are a liar. Because marriage is a setup that God put in place to check your level of spirituality. You will need to operate beyond the civilization of mortal man for you to be a good husband. For you to represent God in the life of a woman, you will have to operate beyond the capacity and the measures of mortal man. And that's why the Bible says, husband, love your wife, not like human people, not like canary people. Love your wife as Christ. You will go beyond the civilization of humanity to prosecute the expectation of God. Hallelujah. You will go beyond it. There are many times that what she desires, based on what she has done, is to pack her like this. That's what she desires. From the perspective of mortals, she needs to go down. But the measure, hallelujah. As Christ loves the church. As Christ. Not as men, but as Christ. Not as Christ. But as Christ. Hallelujah. As Christ. As Christ. If your wife believes you that you are a genuine man of God, you are a genuine man. She knows you more than every other person. So, if you are a bishop, you will invest in the relationship you have with the only woman that can minister to you the way others cannot. If there is perpetual neglect, it means your eye is seeing something. That is the conclusion. That is perpetual neglect. Perpetual. It's becoming a habit that you neglect. You know, one of the reasons why God gave man a woman is because he foresaw that the man will fall. In order to forestall a fall, he said, take one from me. Another one manage you.
manage you. Manage your eye. Your eye will go like this. He will manage you. Manage.
There is a fall in view. Oh, we are not always powerful. Oh. Ah, if you go for a crusade and you preach for 4 days straight, when you have the fourth day, when you finish preaching and you come back, you will miss your wife. It is in those moments that the devil sends damsel with small waist to come. And you are laughing. Me, I want to finish well. Small waist. And they'll ask, do you need anything? I come and sell him Okaye to Kamal. One of my friends that like international ministry so much, he said, I will preach in the nations. He went to Ghana. He came back with the last strand of his belief in Jesus. At that moment where that fourth day of the crusade, they sent a lady to massage him. The lady succeeded. That's what I'm saying. So when he came back, we asked him, how is Ghana? He didn't answer for 2 weeks. Rosely Kumo. In Malawi, as you are coming, as they are feeding you, the woman that brings the food, we need her first. And then take your hand and wash it with. Yes. Wash your hand.
Yes,
they can't look at you in the eyes. Don't be in a hurry to say you want to preach in Congo. Don't preach in Makoti. Let's do. Most preachers would have finished strong if they did not go into international ministry prematurely. God would have, you must be a perfect man to be able to do international ministry and come back home and you don't change. You must be a perfect man. What happened to our church in the village? Our pastor went and preached somewhere and came back and now say, we don't even appreciate what he's carrying. He went there, the honorarium they gave him, the way, then he now came back home and he could not accept us again. Many things are likely to happen to you when you go far away from your domain. Then we'll know your real weight. We'll know that is the day the devil will exploit your lust, exploit your ego, exploit the flesh. But a bishop must be blameless. I want to rest my case at this point. It's from the pool of bishops that people are separated into the clergy. As a clergyman, it means you have the license to minister to the body of Christ. And the Bible says that no man taketh dishonor upon himself, save him that is called as was Aaron. The ordinance, you may wish to rise up and take a few steps towards the altar. Many things will chase you. Your anger will haunt you. Your lust will haunt you. Appetite for physical success will haunt you. Many gods will appear to you and compel you to serve them. But a bishop must be blameless. The husband of one wife, whose children have been held in subjection. He should not be guilty of riot, neither should he be unruly. He must be a steward of God. That when you come and deliver ministry,
let it be evident that there is something this man received from God. He's a steward of a particular mystery that he had contacted from God.
The Bible says that you stir up the gift that is in you, which came upon you through prophecy and the laying of the hands of the presbytery. Today, the presbytery will lay their hands upon you, and the gift will be transferred. An inheritance, a heritage, will come into your spirit man. Things that they have been able to accumulate in Christ Jesus and master over the years. It will be transmitted into your life as an impartation, as a release of the Spirit of God, as a down payment, an investment, a deposit, from whence you withdraw again and again as you prosecute the counsel of God in the field of mission. Our generation looks up to you to provide the leadership that is lacking in the nation, the leadership that is lacking in the body of Christ. Our generation looks up to you, that with strong character and wholesome words, by the gift of the Spirit, through the manifestation of signs and wonders, it will be evident that you were called of God to steward mysteries in His house. You want to make a prayer of dedication. Because when we see the standards of God, we become small. And it's only the grace of God that can be our true energizer. Can you ask Him for grace? Because prophecies will be proclaimed today. And the hands of the presbytery will come upon you. And a new circle of ministry will find expression. Transactions take place in times like this. The giftings that you were designed by God to carry, through which God's kingdom in your ministry will be exalted. In times like this, those gifts are called forth. And just in case, as a person, maybe there is contention for your life. The enemy has been looking for occasion to strike you for any reason. In times like this, when the hand of the presbytery are placed, the devil loses ground. This is your moment. Your prayers and your meditations at this point will find answers from God. Father, grant that through them, our generation will find the light. The light that will set things in balance, put things in their perspective. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, standing before you are people that have labored. Each and every functionary of the kingdom that is here, there is something about them. There's a unique
seed of God that is in them. If your heart is open and you desire, that seed will be imparted. It will be released. And you will confront the things that have confronted you. And a way will be made where there seems to be no way. Please, bless them. You lay hands on them. Bless them. Let there be enough space in between the people so that we can pass. No, no, not like that. Each and every one of us will lay hand on everybody. Yes, we'll be going like that. Let your people connect to covenants. Covenants that were products of years of labor. Messengers of the kingdom. Embarazoso somia hanselia iko mahasadi. Proskete mahaito kopa samalatene. Preso kopaya ika mansali. Pranto samene halito skabre. Bahato sike mantani maguria. Prates kopa nahasahite. Mandorosima salatam prestaba yakomina kadia. Ayatalia puseke la hapros kanemus otoni. Ameso sere kabarato mina prate. Akapayako santo ikamasate prahiga. Let the dew of heaven flow. Let any weakness in the lives of your people, let it be swallowed up by the cloud of witness that is present here. Osakaya basketo bahaya tobenahi prespombe samanta yakobo eko sabaratia ikama santa babora sabahaya ibrasetoria ite samate de boriama eso mina aina that gift of God let it be stand up. Elia told me Samanda Ramamosa, it has Samanaita. Arama Santa Baboria, Saman Sanekoria Bahate, Melesto Sisi, Prasiko Bahai Toka Bahate.